This is Jerry Sands. You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News.
You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, where your passion for the Tigers knows no limit. Today is Wednesday, March the 17th, and this is episode 123. I'm your host, Sato fanboy number one, T-Ray, and with me today is Sato fanboy number two, Sanjay, in Hawaii. How you doing, man?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. I'm doing very well, thank you, and I'm honored to be called Sato fanboy number two.
Man, we were going to talk a little bit more about him as we talk about the recaps and stuff like that. But before that, we are going to introduce a guest that we have on today's show, and he is coming at us from the future. This is the first time we've got a guest in the future, but we've got Scott calling in from Australia. How are you doing, Scott?
Yeah, good, man. I'm glad I'm here. It's been about 4 years since our last attempt, I think, so I'm glad to finally actually be on the show.
Yeah, so I think we tried to do a Dragons preview with Scott 4 years back, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, it didn't work out, and we ended up scrapping it, or it was like we had to scrape it together to salvage it or something because of audio issues. But good to have you back, man. And just so that you all know, Scott has got a Chunichi Dragons blog. He's also got a Twitter account that is an excellent follow if you want to keep up on the Dragons, which I think is important if you want to be an educated NPB fan. He's also got a Facebook page, which I'm not sure. Are you keeping that up to date as well, Scott, or is that kind of just an occasional thing?
It's generally just for when the blog posts go up, but yeah, it's a bit hard for me to keep my fingers across all platforms. So most of my stuff I do on Twitter, and then the features and everything go up on the blog, and that gets advertised on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, cool. Yeah, so, yeah, everybody, please make sure that you give Scott a follow and just enjoy getting some information about them. And speaking of which, we've got a great show for you today as we look at our competition for 125 of the 143 games on schedule for this regular season. We are previewing the other five Central League teams, so strap in and join us for a great ride. It's time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. News.
So the first bit of news comes to us almost 10 days ago now. I think it's 9 days ago on the 8th of March. Manager Akihiro Yano named Shintaro Fujinami the opening day starter for us in a bit of a surprise move. We were looking at Yuki Nishi being the starter on opening day as he was last year, but he came down with a little bit of a case of asthma. And so they're going to bring him along a little bit more slowly, and he will probably be the starter in the second series of the season against the Carp. Another reason is that bumps him over to face the Carp, then the Giants, then the Carp, then the Giants, against whom he is highly successful. But Fujinami, Sanjay, what do you think about this move, man? Putting Fujinami in the opening day driver's seat.
Hey, you know what? The fans are loving it, right? I mean, talk about a PR coup. I think that that was huge. And bring it on, man. If Fujinami's ready for it and Yano's ready for it, then let the show begin.
So I would just say, to temper one's expectations, your expectations, or even mine, I guess, you know, he pitched the other day, and we'll get into this a bit later, but he gave up 3 runs in the first inning, settled down after that. I can't help but wonder if he's going to have a bit of the jitters, but, you know, people are worried, is this going to shake his confidence again or what? He's a different guy than he was in 2017 through 2020, which were his really dark years. Even 2016 was not great, but hey, Scott, do you got any thoughts on this from an outsider's point of view?
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is just another case of, you know, managers and NPB realizing the opening day starter isn't quite as important as we once thought. I mean, not to shoot down Fujinami. I think he's actually looked so much better in the last, 6 to 9 months, particularly down the stretch last year. There was a lot of improvement. That velocity was way up again. And look, I think you could pick far worse starting, you know, opening day starters. And I mean, the way NPB works, you shift the way around your rotation so much to, get the appropriate matchups. So I don't think it's going to have a huge bearing on the entire season. But I think, as Sanjay said, it's great for the fans to see one of their big fan favorites out there on the mound on opening day. So, I mean, that's exciting.
It also lines up Fujinami to face the Dragons the following Friday, and that will be, I believe, at Kyocera Dome. So that will be kind of our home opener of the season, and so that'll be an exciting one to look out for, right, Scott? Okay, so the next bit of news that I've got is that Fumihito Haraguchi took a foul ball off his right hand on the 10th of March. He was pulled from that game, and I don't think he's seen action since. So we wish Haraguchi a good recovery, and it sounds like it's not serious, like there's no broken bones or anything, and so it could just be a matter of the swelling going down, and it's only been a week since then, so we hope that he sees some action soon. Okay, the next thing is actually, you know what, we have not done a lot of rumor talk, and this is an extreme rumor, because I only heard it from one of the guys I follow on Twitter. He tweeted this. He said, "I can't help but get the feeling that Shun Takayama is going to be traded to the Chiba Latte Marines." And I have no idea where he pulled that from. But Takayama is a Chiba native. He's also not getting a lot of playing time. And the way that the Tigers' starting lineup is looking on opening day, and even beyond, once the Gaijin come, I don't know if there's space for Takayama, even if he is heating up. And so I don't know, like maybe it is a good idea, but I don't know if that is going to materialize or if that was just speculation on his part completely or if he had read it somewhere. Just an interesting rumor for everybody to stew on. And if my buddy on Twitter was right, then you heard it here first, unless you heard it from him first. Okay, lastly, speaking of the Gaijin, which I just mentioned a bit earlier, of course, Gaijin means foreigner. When are they going to be coming to Japan, especially these new guys and even the guys that got stuck back in the homeland? What I heard is, well, first of all, the state of emergency is still on in Tokyo at least until the 21st of this month, could go a bit longer. So the idea is that if it ends on the 21st, that would mean that, honestly, they probably can't come in the next day, but it would take a couple of days for them to arrive here, at which point they would probably have to still be quarantined for 2 weeks. And I mentioned this, I think, on Facebook and Twitter, but our good friend Tatsunori Hara made a suggestion. And I don't know if he's filed it officially with MPB, but he said, why don't all the guys quarantine at the Tokyo Dome Hotel? And then they can arrange for staggered workouts in the meantime. They can keep themselves in shape while they are getting ready for the season, but also while they're passing through this 14-day period of not being able to join their respective teams. And for once, I'm maybe in agreement with something that Hara says. This is a guy that has a lot of ideas that he uses just to benefit his own team, but I think this one could benefit all teams. Any thoughts on that, Scott?
Oh, well, it's not just going to benefit all teams. It's going to benefit him as well. I mean,
sure.
Sorry, I'm an absolute cynic when it comes to the Giants, and if anyone follows me on Twitter, they'll be well aware of that. But look, I think pragmatically, it's actually a really good idea. I think a lot of players are worried about that two-week quarantine period where they're basically going to be doing nothing. It's very hard to do any sort of practice indoors. Even if there's a gym facility or something available to them, it's only limited to what they can actually do. But if they can set something up, with Tokyo Dome facilities, where they can throw, maybe even doing some live practice with the other foreign players, that would be huge for getting them prepared for the new season. And I think particularly pitchers who really need a few innings here and there, or probably more than a few, but to tune up to get ready for that first game of the year, it's going to be extremely valuable. I think the hitters are going to be a little bit easier to get back into their stride, but yeah, I think overall it's a good idea. But again, the cynic says to me, Hara's getting Justin Smoke and Eric Tams, who are probably the two marquee signings of probably the MPB season. So, I definitely want those guys on my team. And, I guess if I can offer the olive branch to everyone else and get what I want at the same time, then, yeah, maybe it's not a bad idea.
So I used to be a fantasy baseball manager, and people always had their antenna up for like, okay, if T-Ray is offering me a trade, even no matter how good it looks, there's something behind this. There's something I don't see that he sees. So I better just say no, because if I say yes, I'm going to regret it in the end. And I think Hara is kind of the same way. I'm not trying to compare myself to Hara because I'm much more angelic than he is. But
debatable.
There's something to be said about any suggestion that comes from the evil empire, right? Mm. I mean, you don't just accept it without investigating this fully. So I'm going to say, yeah, maybe we do need to. And also on top of that, Sanjay, and I think you'll agree with me, we've actually got six of our eight foreigners in town, right? So we're actually better off than most teams. And so this benefits us the least in a sense. I mean, we're going to talk about this in next week's show, but we're already having problems whittling down our roster to have, you know what I mean? Like to fit all these guys into the top squad roster, let alone the starting lineup. So, I mean, once Rojas and Alcantara come, it creates all sorts of extra, well, good problems, but still problems for our manager to create the starting lineup. So I don't know, man. I'm not sure if I like this idea, but we'll see what happens. We'll keep you all posted. All right, let's move on. Before we start recapping the preseason games, I want to give some shout outs to our patrons. And I've got three up here. One of them is the Tokyo Swallows. They've got a great podcast. If you've never listened to it and if you want a good laugh, it's not all self-deprecating, but certainly a lot of it is because they're a perennial last place team. But Kozo and the boys at Tokyo Swallows have a great podcast. I recommend you check that out. Nextly, we've got a couple of others. My good friend Anita, who has been supporting us for a good while now and has supported me on the side, just, you know, emotionally and other ways, keeping this thing going and always encouraging me to put out a good product. Thanks to Anita and Zorni, our graphic designer / to Talkin' Torakichi / Mr. Everything, man. Zorni is the man. And the next time he comes to Koshien, we are taking in a game or two together. So shout outs to the patrons. And you can join that party as well. Go to patreon.com/ the Hanshin Tigers and get in on the game. Recap! All right, it's time for the recaps. And this is what we got. A whole bunch of wins, a couple of losses, but here we go. We're going to run through this real quick. On the 5th of March, we were in Fukuoka against the Hawks, and we beat them 4-0.
Yay!
Sato hit a home run in his first at-bat of the official preseason, and that was a sign of good things to come. Little did we know at that time, but we are ecstatic about what he's done so far. Jerry Sands also hit a home run in that one. Yuki Nishi threw two innings, Fujinami threw four, Baba threw two, and Taiki Ono threw one. They were all shutout innings. The next day, we beat the Hawks again. It was 3-1 in this one. Oyama and Sands with home runs. Aoyagi with four shutout innings. Newcomer Masashi Ito with three innings pitched, one run against. Daichi Ishii and Ren Kajiya with an inning, shutout inning apiece as well. Well, we couldn't sweep the Hawks. The next day, we lost 4-3. Wei Chen, gave up a Grand Slam home run to Takuya Kai in the second inning. We chipped away at that lead. Marte with a home run, actually before that, but Yokawa with a two-run home run to make it close. Gunkel threw three innings of shutout ball, Edwards with one and Suarez with one, so it was the all-Gaijin pitching staff. Came up with a loss, but who cares? Next day, this is the Koshien opener for the Hanshin Tigers this year. We beat the Carp 6-4. Sato with an RBI single in his first Koshien at-bat. Itayama with a go-ahead RBI single to left. Another Grand Slam against Junya Nishi with a Grand Slam home run against Kevin Krohn. Kosuke Baba, two shutout innings. Kuwahara, one shutout inning. And Ren Kajiya, again, a shutout inning on this day. The next day, we beat the Carp again, 9-3 this time. Yukiya Saito looked great through fourth and fifth, he sputtered. Five innings pitched, three runs against, I believe. Kobayashi, two shutout innings. Taiki Ono, one shutout inning. Daichi Ishii, one shutout inning. Jerry Sands with a two RBI double. And Sato with three hits, including a home run, also committed an error. And Itohara also with an error. Those were our first errors of the spring, by the way, which is an encouraging sign. We continued the homestand with two games against the Lions, and we tied a rain-shortened game 3-3. Fujinami gave up three runs in the first inning. After that, second through fifth inning, no hits allowed, so he looked really good after that. And Sato with another home run on this day. This would be his, third of the preseason. And Marte also hit a home run, so he's also looking good so far there. The next day, Saturday, we played the full nine. I was at the game with my sons. Aoyagi looked great through five innings, but in the sixth inning, we gave up, yeah, you know it, another Grand Slam home run. This one was to Hotaka Yamakawa in the sixth inning. We lost this one 6-2. Our two runs came on two home runs, both in the same inning. Koji Chikamoto, I was busy tweeting when he hit it. Idiot. And then Marte, I made sure I saw that one. Marte hit a monster shot to left center. So we lost that one 6-2. But the next day we faced the Giants, our rivals, and Sato with the only run of the game on a home run that was reviewed. So he hit the home run to the left field corner. And 3 minutes later, he rounded the bases. It was kind of a weird thing to happen, right? He hit it. They called it foul. He stood there while they did the video review. That was the only run. Masaki Oyokawa, who was our third round pick in the 2019 draft, still 19 years old, he threw 4 shutout innings, one hit ball, and the rest of the way we continued with that shutout. And then the final game to recap was yesterday at Jingu against the Swallows. We hit the ball a ton. It was, what, 16 or 18 hits, something crazy like that. That included a couple of home runs. We scored 9 runs in the first 4 innings, I believe, including a Marte home run. And you guessed it, a Sato 2-run home run. This is his 5th home run of the preseason with 4 games still left to go. And Sanjay, that means that
he just tied a rookie record for the number of home runs in the, you know, the open sen, the preseason, at 5. He tied it. This original record was set 49 years ago by Sasaki Kyosuke, who was a stud hitter for the Kintetsu Buffaloes way back when. And Sasaki himself was saying that, you know, he'd been watching Sato since he was in college, because Sasaki is now a manager for a club team. And he said that he's really looking forward to it. Sato's ability to hit with power to the opposite field reminds him of another slugger, a righty, Kiyohara, who was able to hit with authority to the right field side. So that's high praise coming from a big hitter.
I was worried when you said it reminded him of another slugger who hit to the opposite field for home runs, because we had a certain guy named Randy Bass who filled those shoes, and we definitely do not want any more comparisons to Randy Bass. Leave that name alone. Leave him. Let Bass be Bass, and let everyone new be themselves, is what I say. Anyhow, it's going to be fun to see how Sato does in the final 4 preseason games, which are coming the rest of this week. And we'll recap those in the next show. But also, of course, let's see what he does when it matters, right? I mean, let's see how he does against the stud pitchers of other teams. See how he does when games actually matter and, you know what I mean, there's extra attention on him and so on. All right, everybody, that does it for the recaps. And it's time for the Hot Topic. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Well, as I promised earlier, we are going to be previewing the other 5 teams in the Central League, and this will hopefully help all of you to make your Central League predictions. We're going to talk about that prediction contest later in the show, but you all need to get on board with that because, as always, we've got some great prizes for that, and we want to see as many predictions as we can. Try to have one of us run the board and take away some of my merch. That's what I want, okay? Let's do it. Okay, so we're going to talk about each team one by one, and we're going to start with last year's 6th place team and run all the way down to the 1st place team from last season. We're going to skip over the Tigers because we'll talk more about them in the next show, which is coming a week from today, if all goes well. So let me tell you what's going on with these Yakult Swallows who finished in last place last year. First, we're going to run through some of the guys that left the team, then who they brought in to strengthen the team, and then who their possible starting lineup would be, who their possible starting rotation would be, and breakout possibilities. So this is what we got. Gone are Gabriel Ulloa. And that's unfortunate because we hit the cover off the ball every time he was on the mound. And that includes, I think he was part of the back-to-back Grand Slams, maybe? And also the walk-off home run from Jerry Sands. And so, sorry to see you gone, Ulloa. I think he is in Taiwan now. Who cares? Okay. Alcides Escobar is also gone. He was their shortstop. I think he hit 1 home run all year, and that was against the Tigers, so goodbye. Matt Cook is gone. Ryota Igarashi retired. Kazuki Kondo is out of here. Daiki Yamada as well. Ren Kazahari left, and he is now with the Bay Stars. I think he might even be Ikuse, but I could be wrong. Hirofumi Yamanaka, their submarine thrower, is gone, and we're glad because he had his best games always against the Tigers. So bye-bye to him. Tsuyoshi Ueda not much of a big name, but he is a guy that if you followed along on Twitter or anywhere else, social media, last season especially, whenever a Swallows guy hit a home run, he was in the dugout and he was right up in front of the camera and gave all sorts of funny faces, entertained the fans. So a fan favorite that is gone, didn't contribute much on the field. And finally, a trade between the Swallows and Giants. So Taishi Hirooka left and is now a member of the Orangemen. New guys. Well, they've got some new foreigners, and we'll talk about them in just a second here. But also on top of that, they have picked up Seichi Uchikawa from the SoftBank Hawks. Potentially their starting first baseman, at least until the Gaijin come around. Their first round pick was Naofumi Kizawa, a pitcher. They also, in the trade with the Giants, picked up Kazuto Taguchi, who is a left-handed pitcher who has actually done quite well against the Tigers historically, so that could be one that ends up hurting us. And then Kohei Miyadai, I think his first name is Kohei, was with the Nippon Ham Fighters, a graduate of Tokyo University, the most prestigious university in the land that rarely produces baseball players, and so he's kind of got spotlight for that, but he is now a member of the Swallows. As for their foreign crew, currently they only have two foreigners on Japanese soil, and that would be Scott McGuff and Albert Suarez. Not in Japan are newcomers Cy Snead, pitcher, Jose Osuna, infielder, Domingo Santana, outfielder, and Rick Vandenhoek, who they also picked up from the SoftBank Hawks. Well, SoftBank released him, so there you go. Those are their newcomers, and that's the Gaijin situation there. Now, as for their possible starting lineup, you'll have to forgive me because I don't follow their team that well. I don't know a ton about them, but this is what I've got as a possibility. Probably batting first will be Shiomi, if not, maybe Sakaguchi. Batting second, Aoki. Batting third will be Yamada. These are all names you should know if you follow NPB. Murakami, big slugger who does really well against the Tigers. Just walk him, guys. Just walk him. Batting fourth. Uchikawa could bat fifth until the Gaijin come around. And then batting sixth, I've got either Yamasaki, Kotaro Yamasaki, or Taiki Hamada, who will play in the outfield, possibly center field or one of the corners. Batting seventh, Nishiura, or I think they've got Motoyama is like a new shortstop they drafted who might be the starting guy. Batting eighth would be their catcher, probably either Yuhei Nakamura or Nishida, and then their pitcher. That's what I've got down for them. And then for their rotation, I've got a ton of guys listed here. None of them are super impressive, so don't get the wrong idea here. It's not that they are, you know, they've got an embarrassment of wealth. They've got an embarrassment of, like, cheap metal. Okay, sorry. Yasuhiro Ogawa is their starting pitcher on opening day. And then following this, I don't have an order listed down. These are just guys that could be in there. Masanori Ishikawa, the 41-year-old guy. Kazuto Taguchi, lefty. Albert Suarez. Hiroto, maybe? Hiro something Takanashi. Keiji Takahashi, another lefty. Judy Hara could be in there. Terashima, who's a fairly young guy that they brought in through the draft recently, Daiki Yoshida, and then as a dark horse and also as one of my breakout possibilities, I have Yasunobu Okugawa. I think he might be starting a preseason game this week and then possibly getting game three against the Tigers if he does well. And then for my other breakout candidate, I've got Taiki Hamada, who's looked pretty good in the spring. He's got some good pop in his bat, and so he could be the man. That's what I've got for the Swallows. I'm not predicting how they're going to do, how high they're going to get, or how low they're going to sink. Not that you can sink any lower. That's it. Let's move on to the Hiroshima Carp. Sanjay, what you got for us?
All right. Well, let me preface this by saying that I'm not going to be as complete as T-Ray just was with every single addition and every single departure, just because that's TMI for me. Too much information. But the big names, well, let's recap. The first thing, they finished fifth in 2020, and they had a new manager in Sasaoka, and they had a lot of injuries. So last year, their pitcher, Rookie of the Year, Morishita, did well, and he's back. And they drafted a new pitcher in Kuribarashi, who was tops in the Industrial Leagues. And they are looking for Osera after the September 2020 elbow operation to be the opening day starter. But who did they lose? They lost Chris Johnson, who was a stud. He won the Sawamura Award a little while ago, but he was 0-7 last year. They lost their outfielder Perella, or not lost, they let him go. And in terms of new additions, interestingly, one of the big names that they talk about is their head coach, Kawada, who is back after 4 years. He's their speed guy. And so they expect the Carp to go back to their speed and hit and run and small ball type of days. And of course, the big name that everybody's talking about is Kevin Krohn. Krohn had almost no at-bats in 2020. He played in 8 major league games. In 2019, he had 71 major league at-bats and batted only .211. But his claim to fame is that he led the minor leagues in home runs with 39 that year and was second in RBIs with 107. And, you know, he was a 2014 draft pick out of college, went to the D-backs. He's 28 years old, bats right, throws right, and he's just one big boy. He's seen as a first baseman, but actually yesterday he played some third base as well, and he's kind of a corner infield kind of guy. So that's really the one that everybody's hanging their hats on for their biggest impact addition. So what does their starting lineup look like? It's expected that Kosuke Tanaka, their star shortstop, will be back and batting leadoff. Ryosuke Kikuchi, their wizard at second base, expected to be back. Batting number three or four, depending on how the manager wants to deal with giving most at-bats to the best bats. Suzuki Seiya, their star right fielder, and also the captain. He's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. And center fielder Nishikawa, their young buck, who's been doing very well at with the long ball and on defense. So that would put their new bat, Kevin Krohn, at first base. I don't know what happens to Matsuyama, who's kind of the tiger killer when that happens. And at third base, we have Dobayashi, who is a big stick, but also error prone. And so there might be some way to sneak in Krohn at third and Mejia at first, or Mejia even at third, and kind of platoon them that way. That takes me to batting number seven. We're thinking Mr. Chono, acquired from the Giants a couple years ago. And at catcher number eight, Sakakura has been the guy for the Rookie of the Year, Morishita, but he's injured recently, and so it's likely that Aizawa will be their starting catcher, especially if Osera, their ace pitcher, is their opening day starter. Their starting rotation will look like Osera and Morishita, the Rookie of the Year, and Kuri Allen. Nomura, and then Endo, who was supposed to be good, but he's had some bad outings in March, and Sasaoka, the manager, said, hey, you're going down to this Nigun and work it out there. That means that someone like Takahashi Koya, who has had Tommy John surgery in February of 2019, might be called on to pitch in the starting lineup, as well as starting rotation, as well as the draft number one pick, Kuribayashi. Who do we have for a breakout? Well, he actually broke out last year. There's a guy named Omori who was a developmental player 2 years ago, but actually got into the starting lineup last year and played 15 games batting leadoff even. Batting average of 320 and some power from home runs. And they are thinking that he might be able to spell some of the other sticks, including Nishikawa and even Suzuki Seiya, to give him some time off. So that, in a nutshell, I think, is my recap for the Hiroshima Carp. Oh, we could talk about who are the gaijin that are in town and not here yet. They have Taylor Scott. They have Francois was their closer, but he got hurt, and he's not expected back from his right knee operation for at least a month, which means that he will probably not be game ready for the first half of the year. We have Roberto Cordial, Alejandro Mejia, Kevin Krohn as available. Not here are two new signees, Kyle Bird and Davidas Navarauskas. Navarauskas was the first Lithuanian pitcher ever to be make it to the major leagues. He pitched for the Pirates for a little bit. Bird is a 27-year-old lefty that's getting Chris Johnson's old number 42. And he was also a 2014 draft pick out of college, playing for the Tampa Bay Rays, got his start with the Texas Rangers, and now he's signed on for the Carp, but not in town yet. That's it for the Carp. Any comments, Mr. T-Ray?
No, but you did mention Francois, who is hurt, and I think, yeah, it could be a while. I read that Kuribayashi may end up being the de facto closer in the meantime. So there you go. So Sanjay, you are right back up again now with the Yokohama Bay Stars. Pardon me, the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars. Got to keep their company name in there for the free advertising, but tell us what's going on with that team.
Well, this is a really difficult one to recap for a large number of reasons. So let me kind of set the stage. I think the word dumpster fire came to mind when I first looked at what was going on over there. and I don't mean necessarily that the team is horrible. It's just that the situation that they're in. So basically, they have 10 Gaijin players on the roster, and none of them are in Japan. That's right, none. Not even the returning guys. And I haven't quite figured that out yet, except that their president said something like, well, there are two ways to apply for visas, and we chose the one where you get the visa while you're overseas, and then you come to Japan, and other teams probably brought their players over first and then got them their visas. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if it's not true. But what it means is that people like Tyler Austin, who were already playing last year, are still stuck in the U.S.
Neftali Soto, home run champ 2 years in a row.
There you go. And Fernando Romero, Michael Peoples, Edwin Escobar, and some developmental players like De La Rosa, Shackleford, Cordero, Diaz, and another Cordero. So we are playing with no katakana names for the first few, I don't know how many games.
I'm okay with that.
And then who else left the DeNA Bay Stars? The big names to know are pitcher Ino and outfielder Kajitani, both of whom went to the Giants as free agents. Interestingly, there's no compensation pick for Ino because he's a C-rank player, but Kajitani is a B-rank, and so there was a compensation player. I'll talk about that in a second. The DeNA Bay Stars also lost Lopez and Patton in the infielder Lopez and pitcher Patton. And their, you know, very popular manager, Ramirez, of 5 years, he's no longer there. And I want to give a shout out because I the more I hear about Ramirez, the more he was just the true ambassador to the game for not just the his team, but also for all foreigners in general and so on. So, you know, otsukaresama, Rami-chan, and, you know, hope to see you again soon somewhere. In terms of new additions, so the one that's not here yet, pitcher Mr. Romero, was being counted upon. And then you got to look at some of the draft picks. So the number one draft pick is a pitcher named Irie, and their number two draft pick is an infielder named Maki Shugo, or Shugo Maki. These two are expected to contribute fairly early on. Irie might even be expected to be in the starting rotation, or else coming out of the bullpen somewhere along the lines, he should be contributing. Maki is an infielder, is a big boy actually, out of Chuo University, and he played in the All Japan team for a while. He's won a batting title, he's won an MVP. He's been known to play second base, first base, so he may actually crack the starting lineup. Another new pickup is pitcher Miyaguni, who was let go from the Giants, and he got picked up as a developmental player, but he was at one time, he was a high draft pick and an opening day starter, so they're hoping for good things. And the one that I found most interesting, actually, was the compensation pick for Kajitani, who is Tanaka from the Giants, younger brother to the Carps' Tanaka. So we know him. We also know him because he was a fifth-round draft pick in 2017, and he got his first professional hit as a pinch hitter off of Randy Messenger on March 30 of 2018. He also had a breakout hit, breakout game on his first start, which was September 16 of last year, when he hit a home run off of Aoyagi, and he was 3-for-5 that day and had 2 RBI. So this guy's going to be a pain in our okole, quite possibly, as playing second base, first base. He's played every position except for catching and pitching, I think. So, and he's a switch hitter to boot, too. So
Okay, but let's not fool ourselves. He was a compensation pick, so he's not that highly touted because the Giants left him unprotected. But, yeah, sure. This is a guy, actually, I'll have an easier time cheering for him as a Bay Star than I did as a Giant, but I still don't want to cheer for anybody that's not a Hanshin Tiger. Okay, please continue.
Fair point. Fair points, all of them. All right, so let's look at the starting lineup over here, or the batting order, which really it could be anything because of the situation that they're in with, you know, none of their big sticks around. So many pieces that are interchangeable and movable, it's even hard to pin it down. But I've seen both, you know, the leadoff spot belongs to a center fielder as it did before. But whether that's Kamisato or Kuwahara remains to be seen. Kuwahara started yesterday. Kamisato is the better known name. Batting number two, or playing second base and shortstop, is a platoon that could be Shibata, Yamato, even this guy Tanaka, and also Kuramoto. Kuramoto is seen as the best hitter. Shibata is seen as the best defender. Actually, Yamato is also seen as a good defender, but depends on you know, his range is no longer where it was. Interestingly, because the Bay Stars are supposed to face Sugano on opening day, and Yamato has a good batting average against Sugano, the thinking is that Yamato either starts at second or short to just take advantage of that matchup. But again, those parts are all kind of interchangeable. Third base would be Miyazaki. That's normal. He was there from before. And left field, penciling in Sano, although, you know, he was a cleanup hitter and left fielder all of last year and the year before, I guess, or no, all of last year. But he might be moved over to first base, which is where he was to begin with, and then they'll fill in one of the other outfield spots with somebody else because their big outfielders are just not available just yet. Also, sorry, in the outfield, this is possibly a breakout guy. This guy named Hosokawa, penciled in for right field. He was there. He led the Nigun, the farm team, in home runs, RBI, and on-base percentage. So this is a guy that might be their breakout guy that they will need to step up in a hurry because they are hurting for bodies. Then we go to catcher, and they've been playing sort of a three-headed monster at catcher all of last year, and it's expected to continue again this year. It could be Tobashira or Minei or Ito, any of those three. Yesterday, Minei was playing, and that's kind of the way they seem to be rolling with right now. For pitching, the smart money is on Onuki, who had 10 wins last year, and he's usually good for the opening day. But Hamaguchi has been coming on a lot lately, and he says he wants to be the opening day starter, and it's not 100% set in stone that he will be, he will not be. In other words, it could be Onuki, Hamaguchi, and depending on that, the catcher might change as well. So we'll see there. Additional strongholds in the starting rotation include Taira and Kamisatani, who had a little bit of control trouble, but he's recently dropped his arm slot in warming up, and thanks to the new manager, Miura, suggestion. And so that might be something that will push him up in the rotation. Additional help in starting include Kyoyama, a 22-year-old who started at in the farm team and has moved up into the rotation in the open games or the preseason games over here. 10 innings pitched, 0 ERA. And even Sakamoto, who was 4-1 last year. Who's out right now are their two stars, Imanaga and Azuma, who both won't be ready for opening day, although they should be contributing further on later on down in the year. And that, I think, is sort of my recap for the DeNA Bay Stars.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, I was wondering, I kind of had heard that Imanaga was out for a while, and also Azuma, yeah, I mean, he had the off-season Tommy John 15 months ago. So he could be good to go at some point in the season, but I'm not too worried about him for this coming year, but maybe next year he might be a real force to reckon with, because he was Rookie of the Year back in 2019, I believe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the Bay Stars, and again, we are leaving the predictions about how they do up to you for next week's show. And we'll talk about that in a bit as well. Well, now in third place from last season would be the Chunichi Dragons. And this is the whole reason that we brought Scott onto today's show. And so, Scott, tell us what you know and what we need to know about the Chunichi Dragons for 2021.
Right. Thanks, Trevor. So basically, it's a lot of the same. I don't think we're going to see huge difference to any of the lineup or the rotation, but there are a few uncertainties that we weren't too sure. Well, even at this point in time as to who's actually going to be there on the starting day. But to start off with, I'll just go through some of the ins and outs. I'll just talk about key guys because there's a lot of guys that got Senroku Guide last year. But so the main inclusions, Mike Gerber, who's come in from the Detroit Tigers organization or San Francisco, one of those anyway. So Zoilo, cut that. So anyway, so the main ins, we've got Mike Gerber, who has done a little bit of work in the MLB. He was brought over by Alonzo Powell, our current batting coach, and he was a former batting champion with the Dragons many years ago. We have Randy Rosario, who is a right-handed reliever. He recently played with the Kansas City Royals, but he came up with the Minnesota Twins, and he's been at a couple of different organizations. And also from the Tigers, we have brought Kosuke Fukudome home. So Fukudome made his name with the Dragons. Well, it seems like a long time ago now, including an absolutely spectacular MVP year in 2006, which I would love to see again, but I don't think it's going to happen. But so he's joined the team as well. They have said he's going to be mostly as a pinch hitter, but we'll see. I'll get into that a bit more. So the key sort of outgoings are Zoilo Almonte, who was our mainstay in left field for a while, but I think just a decision had to be made as he wasn't always healthy. We had Moises Seara, who played a bit of a bit role last year, who got let go. Luis Gonzalez, who was a reliever, who was a bit rubbish. Kazuki Yoshimi has retired after a glittering career. And I guess the other main fellow that was let go was Shota Suzuki, who has signed an X-Air contract with the Tigers. At the draft, we didn't add a lot of impact players. It's a lot of it's sort of for the future. Hiroto Takahashi was the flag bearer of that draft class. He's a right-handed starter. He's only 18, so we probably won't expect to see much of him this year. Whilst maybe Hiroto Mori, who looks like a fairly high velo reliever. So in terms of the starting lineup, I've seen, so Yoda, the manager, has been experimenting a little bit with how this is going to look out, but I think we're going to see Yohei Oshima as the mainstay at leadoff. And depending on if we have a right-handed pitcher or a left-handed pitcher to play, the lineup may change a little bit. But basically, I think it's going to go Oshima with Toshiki Abe at second base, probably Ryosuke Hirata, who will be in right field, who is going to be into that third position. Dayan Viciedo, he's about the only person that is absolutely guaranteed a daily position at first base. And then after that, it gets a little bit hazy. So Takuya Kinoshita will definitely be the everyday catcher. Yota Kyoda will be definitely the everyday shortstop because Akira Neo has not lit up things as many had hoped. And left field is really anyone's at this point. So at the moment, Yoda has been cycling through a number of different options. We have seen Akira Neo there for most of the preseason, and he's hitting about 100 now. So I think that experiment's been done with. So I personally think we'll see Kosuke Fukudome actually there on opening day. He's been doing really well in the developmental league. He's been getting on base with that's a ridiculous percentage. And I think just having that veteran leadership there on the first day will be useful, unless Yoda is thinking about having a youthful player there on sort of the first day to give them the experience, and maybe Kosuke comes in a little bit later. So we'll see what happens, but I think it's either going to be Fukudome or maybe Kanami Takino will be probably the front runners for left field at the moment. In terms of the starting rotation, Koji Fukutane has actually been tapped on the shoulder to open things in Hiroshima in the opening week, which was a bit of a shock because we all expected the Sawamura winner Yudai Ono to take the mound on starting day. But Yoda has apparently been a little bit concerned about Ono's condition and wants to push him back a little bit further. So that's why he will start the second round, the home opener against the Giants. So we actually had a bit of a dress rehearsal for that yesterday, and Ono's looking pretty sharp, so I think that'll be a pretty safe bet. Otherwise, Yuya Yanagi is probably the only other dead set certainty for the rotation. He got 11 wins a couple of years ago, and then the last three are a bit tricky at this stage. So I would say Shinosuke Ogasawara will be there. Takahiro Matsuba, who was a bit of a fifth, sixth starter fella last year, he'll be there. And Tatsuya Shimizu, who's a 21-year-old who was drafted in 2017, I think, he looks the best of the younger hopefuls. We do have Kordai Umetsu, who's sort of in the background, who is still tuning up. Takumi Yamamoto could be a chance. Yariel Rodriguez, who is probably the most talented starter, we're starting with the most potential out of the starters at the moment. He's obviously Cuban. He came in a bit late, so we'll probably see him about 3 or 4 weeks after the season starts, I'd say. Otherwise, Akiyoshi Katsuno has more or less played himself out of the rotation, but we might see him again later. So in terms of breakout candidates, I'm just going to pick on two. One's a pitcher and one's a position player. So in 2017, in the first round, we drafted Hiroshi Suzuki, who was a fireballer out of Yamaha. He was actually given the closer role at the beginning of 2019, but was very good at putting players on base and then actually turning it on. So he ended up with an ERA of like 4 point something, but still had 12 saves or something. It was a very sort of strange thing, but Yoda basically was done with him, and he's since come back as a side armor. So he's no longer throwing from the three-quarter slot. He's throwing from the side and doing really well. He's lost a little bit of the velo. He did touch about 151 last night, I believe, but he's since thrown 8 games without an earned run. So he's looking really good. The control's back, and he'll be a great part of the bullpen again this year. And lastly, Masami Ishigaki, who has been tearing up the farm. He is by far probably the most advanced of the position players in terms of potential. He hit 372 on the farm with a 988 OPS and 5 homers. And we all know that the Western League is super hard to get home runs in, but he just turned it on. So, yeah, no, I think that's really a lot of interest there. And lastly, just who's here and who's not. Unfortunately, the two new signings, Gerber and Rosario, were still waiting to come in. And also, one that flew under the radar was Luke Wakamatsu, who was a minor leaguer. He's signed a development contract with the team. So those three are still waiting, while Deon Viciedo, Yariel Rodriguez, Ariel Martinez, and Raidel Martinez, our Cubans, have all come in with no issues. So that's where the Dragons are at this stage. In terms of where they end up, God only knows, injuries forbidding. I'm saying somewhere between 3 and 5, but it could be anywhere.
Send us your predictions for next week's show, man.
No worries, man. I will do.
Awesome. Hey, Scott, like, this was so informative and like tons better than what me and Sanjay did for the other teams, but appreciate it. So we are going to definitely have our radars in tune for what is going on with the Trinity Dragons. And I love the work that you do where you're retweeting a lot of farm content for the Dragons, which really helps me to see a lot of the young guys that are coming up. And I get excited about your team. Well, excited, but also a little bit dread-filled. But appreciate the preview. Well, everybody, we are going to skip over the Hanshin Tigers because we'll talk about them in next week's show. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Yomiuri Giants, whether you want to hear it or not, and you probably don't. We are going to do this. So as you know, they are the two-time Central League champs, but they're also the two-time victims of a sweep to the SoftBank Hawks. Yay! Thank you so much, SoftBank.
Go Hawks.
Love you. Until this year. Don't go Hawks this year because it's Tigers. Okay. So here we go. Who is gone from the Giants? This is the list that I've made, and there could be some that I missed, but these are the main guys. Hisashi Iwakuma, who actually never played on their top squad team, but he retired. He was brought back from the majors. Just a big name that is no longer a name on the Giants. Gerardo Parra, who is their outfielder, baby shark guy, he's gone. Israel Mota struck out too much, and he is out of there. Kyosuke Takagi, the gambler, he is gone. That's an inside joke on what, 6 years ago, he and a couple other guys were caught gambling and he was suspended for a full season. Anyways, he is done. I think he moved on somewhere. Maybe the Lions, I'm not really sure. Daiki Yoshikawa, who is not the Yoshikawa who hit the home run in opening day last year. This is the other Yoshikawa. He's gone. Yasuhiro Yamamoto. It's a name that you might know because he is now a member of the Tigers. He was traded from the Giants for money. And then finally, Kazuto Taguchi. I talked about him a little bit when I mentioned the Swallows. He is now with them because he was traded away to them. As for the new players, well, Sanjay already kind of mentioned Takayuki Kajitani and Shoichi Ino. These are two guys that came over as free agents. Takayuki Kajitani was one that required compensation, and so I forgot to mention, but gone also is Shunta Tanaka, who is now a member of the Bay Stars. And then Shoichi Ino did not require any compensation. He also like had some kind of head injury recently, so we're not really sure. I mean, he was always a little bit like weird in the head anyways, so this might either have knocked some stuff back in place or even further out of place. That remains to be seen.
Ouch.
Okay, so yeah. So I don't even know the guy, and I'm insulting him. How rude. Okay, so they pick up, for getting rid of Taguchi, or for trading away Taguchi, a left-handed pitcher, they got Taishi Hirooka, who is expected to maybe be a replacement for Hayato Sakamoto in a couple of years' time at shortstop. So I don't really see a place for him now because at short right now is Sakamoto and at third is Okamoto. Those are unmovable pieces. And I don't know if Taishi Hirooka will play outfield or not, but anyways, he's there. And then their top draft pick was Ryuta Heinai, a right-handed pitcher. And then the guy that's getting a lot of talk for them is a guy named Yuto Akihiro, straight out of high school. He's an infielder. He is, 6'6" or something like that? He's 2 meters tall. So apparently Hara loves him. There you go. As for their foreign players, well, the ones that are here are Ruby De La Rosa, Angel Sanchez, Thiago Vieira, and Zealous Wheeler. The guys that aren't here are CC Mercedes, who has been a part of the team for a good while and has been quite good. Estami Ureña, pardon me, can't get these names right. He was with the team last year. I don't think he played a ton with them, but he might have been on the farm a lot. And then two new guys. Those would be Justin Smoke, who is known for either smoking the ball or just hurting the air around him as he swings. very powerful hitter, but also notorious strikeout artist. He's an infielder, probably first base. Played for, I think, the Mariners, Blue Jays, and a couple other teams in the majors.
Giants.
And you know, the media likes to pump up the career 100 and whatever home runs or whatever he's got. I don't know. He does have a lot of home runs. And then Eric Thames also they picked up, who starred in KBO earlier last decade and then came back and was quite successful with the Brewers and then moved on to one or two other teams in the majors. A little bit less successful. I think he was with the Nationals last year. They released him and now he is a Giant. And I think he also was expected to play first base, but they can't put Smoke and Thames at first, and so I'm not sure what they're planning to do. Currently, I think Wheeler is going to be their first baseman. So they've got three foreign guys that can play first, and I don't know how good they are anywhere else. So that, again, is Giants logic for you. And we'll see how that plays out. Okay, their possible starting lineup on opening day looks like this. Kajitani playing right field, batting first. Wakabayashi playing left field is what I saw somewhere, batting second. Sakamoto batting third, playing short. Okamoto batting fourth, playing third. Maru batting fifth, playing center. Oshiro batting sixth, playing catcher. Wheeler batting seventh at first. And then Naoki Yoshikawa batting eighth at second base is what I've seen. Now, that could obviously change depending on what pieces they've got. And then Sugano is their opening day starter. I should have mentioned earlier, I wanted to mention Tomoyuki Sugano as gone at the start. That was what was supposed to happen this offseason. Thanks, MLB, for not signing him. I'm not going to blame Sugano. I'm not going to blame the Yomiuri Giants. I'm going to blame MLB. Idiots. But I'm just thankful that the San Francisco Giants picked up Shun Yamaguchi. He was released by the Blue Jays, and there were rumors that he was coming back to the Yomiuri Giants. Thankfully, he's not. Okay. So their rotation then looks like this. And again, this is in no particular order. Sugano is the opening day starter. They've got Angel Sanchez, Shosei, I think, Togo, Seishu, Hatake, all these Shoshusei, I don't know, whatever. Ryuta Heinai, their first round pick, Shoichi Ino, Yuki Takahashi, who got sent down to the farm because not only Hara, but also commentator Horiuchi, who is a former ace from the team from like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, he also said, what is up with this guy? He's not who he was last year. And then they've got Nobu something or something, Nobu, Aki Nobu, Nobu Aki, Nobu something, Imamura, a lefty, and then CC Mercedes, when he does come, he'll be in the rotation as well. So those are just some names there. Breakout possibilities. I've heard, I listened to a different podcast, and they said they've got a pitcher named Kai Yokokawa, who could make an impact this year. He could break out. And then I'm looking at Yuto Akihiro as another possible breakout. Again, he's a high school graduate, so I don't know how his swing and how his game is going to translate to the top squad, but Hara is gushing about him, so there's got to be something there. And there you have it. You guys get to predict the standings for the Central League.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
So H10 will have its sixth annual Central League Predictions show later this month. Actually, next week. Your predictions are needed to make this show fun, and prizes for anyone who gets the final standings exactly right include, of course, it's going to be only Hanshin merchandise, but I've got stuff set aside for you. So run the board, and it's yours. Send your audio recording to the email address in the show notes no later than this coming Monday, March 22 at 11:59 p.m. Japan time. List the teams from 6th through 1st with reasoning if you have any, or if you want to explain yourself, but try to keep your recording to within 2 minutes. You can also send a text prediction as well. That is fully acceptable, and I will just read it off, or Sanjay. Whichever voice you want, you can even request who you want to read it off. Bonus points if you choose me. Just kidding. Don't forget to include your answer to the tiebreaker question in case somebody else predicts the exact same standings as you. That would be, who's going to hit more homers for Hanshin in 2021? Jerry Sands, Jeffrey Marte, or Mel Rojas Jr.? And how many will he hit? Send those into us, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. Looking forward to your predictions for next week's show. Okay, well, there are four more preseason games before we start the regular season on March the 26th. That would be today. Actually, in 2 hours' time, the game starts. That's against the Cebu Lions in Saitama. And then we've got a three-game weekend series against the Buffaloes. It's kind of the test run for the first three guys in the rotation. Plus, probably we'll play basically what we expect the starting lineup to be for our team on opening day. And so there you have it. That will be the end of the preseason. We are currently tied for first in the standings of the preseason, which mean absolutely nothing. But the media will tell you it does. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to H10. If you haven't gotten your fill of Tigers news, check us out at Patreon for some exciting benefits. www.patreon.com/thehanshintigers. Link is in the show notes. Check out our website. That's also in the show notes. The Twitter link, the Instagram link, the Facebook link. It's all there. Special thanks to Anwar Amr for the theme music and show the show mixer. All right, everybody. Sanjay, thanks for joining us today.
Mahalo for having me, Bo T-Ray.
All right, man. And we'll see you next week at the same time. Catch you all later.